John chapter 5, very familiar passage of Scripture to most of us. And I'm going to share this in such a way that I think you can take these truths home and put them into practice, and it can have an impact on your life every day. 1 John chapter 5, and I remember when I first found these verses many, many years ago, it really had an impact on me because I didn't know this was in the Bible. You know, I grew up in church too. There were a lot of things that were in the Bible that I had no idea were there because they weren't taught. And this was one of them. 1 John chapter 5, and we'll start with the first verse. John, the apostle, up in years now, is writing to the church, and he says this: whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, or the Anointed One, is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. That is, if you love God, if you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus, then you will not only love God, but you will love God's children. You will love other believers. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatever is born of God, or whatsoever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now here John is writing, and he had a different perspective on some things because he was very close to Jesus in his earthly ministry. He was also referred to several times in the Gospels as the one that Jesus loved. In other words, they were very close. If you remember, at the Last Supper, that last communion meal, they were so close that John like had his head in Jesus' chest. And, you know, they were very close. And, there are things that you can always glean when you read the Scriptures, because it gives you not only the basic information that you need to know, but it gives you a lot of background information. And John was one of those that was in the inner circle, if you will. There were times that Jesus did things, and he would only take John, Peter, and James. And the rest of the disciples, he'd have them stay outside the room. Or when he was transfigured, he only took Peter and John and James with him. When Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, all of the disciples went to the home, but only Peter and John went into the room with Jesus. James may have gone in as well. But he was in the inner circle, if you will. And all of us, to a certain degree, have a circle of friends. We have people that we love, people that we know. But then there are people that are really close to us. The inner circle, if you will. That's just the way things go. And so John was one of those men that was in the inner circle, very close to Jesus in his earthly ministry. In fact, he was so close to Jesus that when Peter, and we'll talk about this in a moment, was being instructed by the Lord Jesus, he looks at John and said, well, what about him? Remember that? And Jesus said to Peter, he said, well, if it's my will that he stays here till I come again, what business of that is yours? Just do what I've asked you to do. And so he had a very close relationship. When Jesus was on the cross, this is the man that he looked at from the cross and said, behold your mother. In other words, take care of my mother. And John did. John was a member of the church at Ephesus for many years, as was Jesus' mother, Mary, after the resurrection. And so he wrote the book of Revelation, the letter, if you will, when he was probably 93 or 94 years old, on the Isle of Patmos. And he wrote this letter when he was well up in age. But notice what he said. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So that's what I'm going to share with you this week and next week. Maybe we'll go into a third week. And we'll talk about the overcoming life. The overcoming life. Notice what he said. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, the word overcome is the Greek word nikeo, the root word nike or nike, which has turned into a marketing bonanza for a tennis shoe company. Nike. You know what the word nike or nike means in the Greek? Victory. And so here John is writing to the church many years after the resurrection and said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And then he says, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, if you're going to overcome the world, there's only one way to do it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that opens the door for you to use the tool of faith to overcome. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Overcoming the world. It is a known fact that in life you will face challenges. I wish I could teach a gospel that says, you know, if you love God, you'll never have a problem. If you love God, you'll float through life on flowery beds of ease. Unfortunately, that's not the case. We live, if you want to know the plain truth about it, in hostile territory. Unfortunately, it's been that way for millennia. It's been that way for centuries. It became that way when Adam sinned. Things were tipped on the side. Everything went wrong. Have you ever wondered, and there are some people who get caught up in arguments from time to time, especially when a tragedy happens, you know, like a tsunami or an earthquake, some great tragedy where there's big loss of life, and some people think, well, see, that's why I don't believe in God. Really? Why? Well, if God is God, if God is love, how come all those people died? Well, the reason bad things happen is because there's a renegade loose in the earth whose name is Satan. And Jesus referred to him, confronted him. The Bible talks a lot about him. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, called him the God, little g, of this world. And he said, if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that don't believe, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that don't believe. And so he called him the God of this world. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, Satan took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world at a moment of time and said, all of this authority will I give to you if you'll fall down and worship me, because it's mine and it's been delivered to me and I can give it to whoever I will. Now, if that was not true, then that was not a valid temptation. You can't tempt me with something you don't have. Are you with me? I used that illustration last week. You can't tempt me with a jet and you ain't got one. See? Well, where did he get that authority? Adam gave it to him when he sinned. And ever since, the earth has been hostile territory for mankind. And you see it all throughout the Bible. I mean, going back to the oldest of times when men faced challenges. There is evil in the world, and it manifests itself in many different ways. But thank God for the cross. Thank God for the redemptive work of Christ, because he set everything back in order. Now, we have to learn how to live that overcoming life. Now, notice I never said you'd never have a problem. You'd never have a challenge. You will. But God has given us the tools to overcome through his word. Amen? Now, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles. You're in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to share a couple different translations of 1 John chapter 5. I read from the King James. But here's 1 John 5:4 from the New Living Translation. And it says this, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. The Message Bible says this: every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. And the person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And so you won't overcome apart from Him. You won't overcome apart from your faith in Him. But we have to have an understanding of spiritual principles so that we can live an overcoming life. Do you know God wants you to overcome? God wants you to overcome. And we'll see this in some great detail here in a moment. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's go down to verse 14. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. Here Paul the Apostle writes to this Gentile church and says this: "But thanks be to God, who in Christ," notice this, "always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere." I want you to make note of that word, everywhere. The King James New Testament says it like this: "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Notice the phrase, every place. Now, I want you to make note of those phrases for one simple reason. Not only does God desire that you live an overcoming life, but He wants you to have an overcoming life in every place. He wants you to live an overcoming life everywhere. In other words, He wants you to overcome in every area of your life. The redemptive work of Jesus covers the entirety of your life. Jesus did not die on the cross and shed His blood just so you could get to heaven. He did not die just so you could get to heaven. He died so that you could have heaven guaranteed, and so that you could now fulfill His purpose for you on the earth, so that you could live a life of abundance. That's not something that some preacher dreamed up. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He did not say, "I've come just so you can get to heaven." Now thank God, through faith in Him, heaven's guaranteed. But He said, "I'm come that you might have life and that you might have that life more abundantly." In fact, the word life that is used is the Greek word zoe, Z-O-E. And it literally means the God kind of life. Now, it's translated eternal life, but here's something I want you to think about. I realized this when I was 12 years old. I got saved when I was 12. Came to Christ when I was 12 years old. And I remember going to school one day along the River Road in Whitsitt. Now, Alonzo knows where Whitsitt is now. Passed by, saw the only road sign that says Whitsitt on it in the world. He passed it. It's down in the south of Pittsburgh, about 35 miles, down in the Youghiogheny Valley, Yauch Valley, a little old coal mining town. So I'm on the school bus. The bus driver's name was Mr. Gillenwater. We had the raggediest bus in the school district. And I'm sitting in the back seat, bouncing up and down as we're going along the river road. And I had this understanding that hit me. You know, the real me will never die. That's eternal. That means I will never cease to exist. Now, I had just come to Christ, maybe yet less than a year before that. But here's something I want you to understand. If you never say yes to Jesus, if you never accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you are still a spirit that is eternal and will never cease to exist. The problem is you'll exist where you don't want to be. Jesus talked about two men. One man who was very rich, had a lot of stuff, and there was nothing wrong with his wealth. The problem with this guy was he was selfish. There was a man outside his gate starving to death. And this guy wanted to build bigger barns so he could store up more stuff. And didn't care about the man who was right in front of him. Well, they both died. The poor man, named Lazarus, ended up in paradise or Abraham's bosom, being comforted. The rich man ended up on the other side of that gulf and was in hell, tormented by the flame. Still had his memory intact. Still recognized the guy who used to beg in front of his gates. And cried out, "Father Abraham, send that guy that he can dip his finger in some water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame." He was very much alive, Margie. Very much alive, very much aware, very much intact with his feelings. And he was tormented. So we've got to think differently about eternal life. Eternal life does not just mean you will live forever. You'll live forever because you're a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So you will never cease to exist. But what Jesus came to give was the life and nature of God. Now, when you have the life and nature of God, you will spend eternity with Him. But not only that, that life and nature of God will impact the way you live on the earth. And in order for you to live that abundant life on the earth, we have to know how to overcome. Now listen, God has made promises to overcomers. Here are some promises that God made to overcomers. You'll find all of these in the book of Revelation. Now, you can look these up later if you want. Just write these down. In Revelation 2:7, this is what the Lord said concerning overcomers. "I will give him to eat of the tree of life." Who? To him that overcomes. In Revelation 2:11, he said, "He shall not be hurt of the second death." In Revelation 2:17, he said, "I will give him to eat of the hidden manna and will give him a white stone and in the stone a name written." In other words, he'll have a name just for you, written in a stone, and it's only yours. That's pretty good. In Revelation 2:26, he says, "To him that overcomes, I will give him power over the nations." Authority, jurisdiction over the nations. Who's he going to give that to? Those who overcome. In Revelation 3:5, he said, "To him that overcomes, he shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before the Father and his angels." In Revelation 3:12, he said, "I will make him that overcomes a pillar in the temple of my God." In Revelation 3:21, he said, "I will give him that overcomes, I'll grant him to sit with me in my throne." And in Revelation 21:7, he says of overcomers, "They shall inherit all things, I'll be their God, and they'll be my sons." So there is a reward for overcomers. And Jesus made 8 promises to overcomers that you'll find in the book of Revelation. So it is the will of God that we live an overcoming life. Now, in all practical terms, talk about overcoming, what do we really have to overcome? Number one, we have to overcome the world. Now, that does not mean we have to overcome the planet. Okay? It doesn't mean we have to overcome Mount Everest and the Grand Canyon and the Pacific Ocean. No. It means the world system. The world system is corrupted. It became evil when Adam sinned. That's why bad things happen. But I have news for you. As a believer, as a Christian, you can change things. There's always been evil in the world ever since Adam sinned. And the problem is now we live in such an age, technological age, where we hear about it constantly. It's in your face 24/7 on 500 different channels. It's even on your phone. Okay? I mean, some knucklehead does something crazy and kills 15 people in, you know, Omaha, Nebraska. It's going to be everywhere. Okay? That's all the news media will focus on for 3 weeks. That'll become whereas 100 years ago, you may never have heard about it. Although it did exist. And so I remember my grandmother used to say, "Oh boy, times they're getting evil. Times they're getting bad." And I still listen to some, you know, the generation in front of me. And they all, you know, at times talk about these last and evil days. Y'all remember that testimony time? Well, I got news for you. The days have always been evil. And they've been just as bad throughout all history. You know? Granted, we just hear about it more. But the Bible does say that evil men and seducers will get worse. And so it's not getting any better, it's getting worse. So we have to overcome the world's system, not the planet, but the system that is corrupt. And that has many different applications. But how do we overcome the world? We overcome the world by our faith, by what we believe, what we say. And we'll talk about this in detail. So we have to learn how to overcome the world, not the planet. We're not going to go out and attack Lake Erie. Lake Erie ain't done nothing to you. You with me? In fact, a lot of things that are on the planet, I truly believe that God made them just for me. He really did. I remember years ago, you know, I was going out to Presque Isle. This is back in the 70s. I first came to Erie. They got beaches? You're kidding me. Beaches? I grew up in a coal mining town. You know, if I wanted to see something fun, I'd go across the hill, look at a coke oven. I mean, beaches? I lived on the river. Not as nice as a beach. And so I'm heading out to the beach one day, and one of my Christian friends says, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going out to the beach." And I could tell. He looked at me. He had this puzzled look on his face. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Why?" I said, "Why?" "Well, I thought it was a sin to go to the beach." I said, "Are you crazy, man? God made that beach just for me." I said, "What's your problem?" "Oh, well, there are women out there." "Yeah? They got bathing suits on." I said, "Man, you got a lust problem. You stay home. I'm going to the beach. I can go to the beach without lusting after some woman in a bikini." Okay? See, now his problem was, it wasn't the world, it was his flesh. That's the second area where we must overcome. We overcome the world's system by our faith. We overcome our flesh by walking in the Spirit. And we'll talk about that. Okay? So not only do you have to conquer the world's system, but you've got to conquer the body that you live in. Sometimes your body can be your worst enemy. Did you know your body has a mind of its own? Do you know your body will desire some stuff it ain't got no business with? You have to learn how to overcome your body. Now, that is the problem with far too many Christians. They are still ruled by their body, not their spirit. Have you ever wondered why the Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh"? For the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and, you know, vice versa, and you cannot do what you would in Romans. Well, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and your flesh, no contest. I mean, that'd be over like that. No, it's talking about your human spirit. The real you that's been born again, that lives on the inside of you. The part of you that where the Holy Spirit's made his home now. That's your spirit. Your spirit needs to run your life. And all too often, we've let our bodies run the show. We've let our emotions run the show. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have to understand that your spirit man, your spirit woman needs to be fed. Just like your body. You feed your body natural food. You feed your spirit the Word. And the more Word that you feed your spirit on, the stronger he or she becomes. All right? And so there are times your body will want to do things that your body shouldn't do. And so what do? You allow your spirit to run the show, not your body. And, you know, I could use all kind of illustrations, but your body does have a voice. And sometimes it gets loud, you know. Sometimes, you know, people do things and you say, "Well, why'd you do that?" "Well, I know why they did it. The body was in control." "Well, I wanted it." "Well, just because you want it doesn't mean you're supposed to have it." Amen. You with me? Have you ever wanted something you know you weren't supposed to have? When I was growing up, my mama used to say, "Stay out of the cookie jar." You know where I was going. You knew where I was going because mama just tipped me off. There are cookies in the jar. And my flesh loved cookies. Still do. See, but now I can buy my own cookies and put them in there and You know, but mommy says you stay out of that cookie jar. Oh, boy. That was like waving a red flag in front of a bull. I knew there were cookies in there. Now, as long as mama's in the kitchen, I'm going to stay out the cookie jar. I'm going to get slapped. But if mama would leave the room, now I have a decision to make. Am I going to let my body run the show, or am I going to listen to mom? Well, the same thing is true to a certain degree spiritually. Am I going to let my body run the show, or am I going to listen to what the Word says? You know, There have been times people have said things to me, and I got angry. Pastor Bill got angry? Oh, yeah, yeah. One time I wanted to knock a guy out. I'm serious. I wanted to hurt him so bad. But I knew what the Bible said because I fed my spirit on God's Word for decades. The Bible says, love your enemies. I didn't want to do that. Didn't feel like doing that. He talked about my mama. I wanted to knock him out. One time I had you guys are going to get to the point where you know all my stories. So. One time I made a mistake. I was running the cash register in a convenience store and rang something up for $3.49. It was on sale for $2.99. And this fellow across the counter says to me, it's on sale for $2.99, dummy. That's what he said, called me dummy. And we were changing shifts. My shift was leaving, another shift was coming on. And all the guys stopped, turned around, and looked at me because they wanted to see what I was going to do. They all knew I was going to Bible school, right? Oh, he called him dummy. We're going to watch this. He says, it's on sale for $2.99, dummy. And I looked across the counter at him and I heard these words. Now, I know they didn't come from heaven. This was not the voice of the Lord. But I heard these words. Literally, this is what I heard. One shot, you can take him out. One shot, you can take him out. And I'm looking down at this fellow. And now I have a choice to make, okay? My body wants to react because he called me dummy. And I heard these words. One shot, you can take him out. Now I've got courage. See? See, that's why some of y'all need to stay out of bars. Some of y'all need to leave alcohol alone. I'm just being honest with you. Because you get beer muscles. You do. You have a little bit of alcohol, and all of a sudden you get courage. And that's how you get hurt. That is not conducive to an overcoming lifestyle. Y'all with me? Y'all, you ever know anybody like that? You know, they get a little liquored up, they get real brave, don't they? And some of them get their behind whipped because they got beer muscles all of a sudden. Well, you get courage. A lot of times your flesh will take you someplace where you don't need to be. And I heard these words, one shot, you can take him out. Now I have a decision to make. Am I going to obey my spirit that says, love your enemies? Or am I going to let my body rule the day and smack this guy right in the middle of the store? Well, I decided to let my spirit rule the day. And I looked at him and I said, I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? Let me correct that for you. Amen? Amen. And I did the right thing. And all the guys are watching me and they just turned around and went back to work. They thought, oh, well, there ain't going to be no fight. You know? They thought there was going to be a fight. And so, we have to overcome the world. We overcome the world by our faith. We overcome our flesh by the Spirit. In other words, let your spirit dictate what you do, not your body. All right? And number three, we overcome the devil. There is a real devil. There is an influence of evil in this world. We overcome him by the Word. Now, here's something that I shared on Wednesday night a few weeks ago, talking about how Jesus overcame the world. Remember when he was tempted of the devil? I mentioned it briefly a little while ago. First thing Satan hit him at was in his flesh. Jesus had fasted for 40 days. He was hungry. He was tired. And the first thing the devil said was this, if you be the Son of God, command these stones that they may be made bread. They'd probably look like loaves of bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he overcame that temptation by quoting the Word. And he did that in each and every area. He quoted what God's Word says. Now listen, here's something I want all you spiritual giants to understand. You ready? All you spiritual hotshots out there. If Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was anointed by the Holy Ghost without measure. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to quote the word to overcome the devil, what makes you think you're going to win a different way? If he had to quote the word to overcome, what makes you think something else is going to work for you? It won't. You're going to have to overcome the same way he overcame. It is written. Now listen, you can't quote what's written if you don't know what's written. You can't quote what's written if you don't know what's written. So overcoming, the overcoming lifestyle, is something that God desires for all of us, but not only in a general sense, but in every area of life. And we're going to go into detail in this series. God wants you to overcome in every area of life. Say every area.
Every area.
That means every part of your life. God wants you to have victory. Not just in your spiritual life, but in your relationships, in your finances, in everything that you touch, God wants you to overcome. We overcome the world, we overcome our flesh, we overcome the devil. Amen? That's what that verse means. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the knowledge, the fragrance of His knowledge by us in every place. The word place, topos, which means territory. Now, let's look at one last passage today, 1 John chapter 4. We were in 1 John 5. Let's go back a chapter to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Excuse me. Very familiar passage to many of us. First John chapter 4. When you got it, say, I got it. All right. Notice verse 4. Again, John writing to believers says, you are of God, little children. And notice this expression. And have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so there's someone living in you who's greater than he that's in the world. And that one living in you is Jesus by the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Oftentimes we get so focused on what's going on out here instead of being focused on who lives in here. Amen. If you would learn to focus and be conscious of God's indwelling presence, you would change your attitude about the external circumstances that you face. Because the greater one lives in you. And if you learn to tap into that grace, he'll help you overcome anything that you face in life. So greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. I don't care what you face in life. When a circumstance pops up, just know that the greater one lives in you. Just know that you will overcome. Now, notice what he said. You are of God and have overcome them. John is writing and letting us know that the fact that we've overcome has already been accomplished. In other words, it's already been done. So listen to this. You have to understand this. Our victory in Christ has already been accomplished. It's already been done. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, it sealed victory for you. But that victory is manifest in our lives by what we know and what we practice. Our victory is already accomplished in Christ. We are overcomers. But that victory will only be manifest in our lives by what we know and what we do. You with me? By what we know and what we do. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. I remember many years ago I was talking with some business people about a problem. And it was huge. And we're all standing there talking about what are we going to do about this problem. And you know what I did? I started laughing. And they looked at me. like, this is not a time to laugh. This is serious. This is a big deal. And I'm laughing. And they said, what are you laughing at? I said, oh, no problem. We're going to be all right. We're going to get through this thing. You with me? Now, I was laughing because I know something. I don't care what I face. I don't care how big the obstacle. The greater one lives in me. And he's got more than enough grace, mercy, insight, knowledge, wisdom, and power to get me through this thing. I mean, think about it. What if you literally, as you walk through life, you know, knew that God was standing right behind you? What would you fear? What would you be intimidated of? Almighty God is standing right behind you. Well, I got you one better. He's not standing behind you. He's living in you. He's living in you. So you must know this. Not only is He for you, not only is He with you, but He is in you. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Now, the man who wrote this thing was challenged by a Roman emperor. I believe it was Demetrian. Demetrian became emperor and declared himself, as many Roman emperors did, to be God. Well, John would have none of it. And so he called John and said, look, you're going to acknowledge me as emperor and God, or I'm going to kill you. And John would have none of it. And so he devised this elaborate torture scheme, and he said, unless you acknowledge me as God, I'm going to take you and drop you into a vat of boiling oil. And John would have none of it. And so he suspended John above this vat of oil and dropped his body into this big vat of boiling oil and fully expected to pull nothing but bones out of it after a few moments. Well, when he had his people hoist that thing up, John was sitting there in that contraption. He was still smiling. Isn't that a horrible way to treat an old man? John was about 90 years old, but he came out of there without a scratch, without a burn, and the man didn't know what to do with him. So he banished him to Patmos, put him on an island where the prisoners go. I don't want to see this guy or hear from him again. And while he's on that island, Jesus appears to him and gives him the book of Revelation. Amen. And John is known worldwide for what he saw and what he wrote, and that emperor, everybody forgot about him, dead and went to hell centuries ago. Amen? Amen? Why did John smile? Why did he not bow? Because he knew greater was the one who was in him than he who was in the world. So we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about living an overcoming life. And that doesn't just mean that you get to heaven when you die, but that means God will give you the tools to overcome in life. Amen? Would you stand with me, please?
Amen.
Hallelujah.